is Christian Questions.
William Shakespeare once wrote, "We do pray for mercy, and that same prayer doth teach us all to render the deeds of mercy." Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Christian Questions, Talk Radio with a Purpose, with Jonathan and Rick. This isn't your typical Christian commentary. We love talking with our audience, and we promise to never talk at you like so many talk shows do today. This is a conversation about biblical topics as we look at them from a different perspective.
And Rick, that perspective is based on godly principles, family values, honest dialogue, all in a politically free zone.
Jonathan, the best part is this. We talk and you listen, and then you talk and we listen.
You can also contact us at our website, christianquestions.net.
I'm Rick.
And I'm Jonathan.
And we're glad you've chosen to spend some time with us on this fine Sunday morning. And Jonathan, what is the topic today?
Well, Rick, our question is, who gets their prayers answered? And our theme text comes from Lamentations, chapter 3, verse 37. Who is there who speaks and it comes to pass unless the Lord has commanded it?
Jonathan, many, many people pray. Are all of those prayers answered, or do most go unheeded? Is there a prescribed formula for prayer? When should we pray? What should we pray about? Does the universe help seekers to find? Don't snicker. Are there right ways to pray that will get you an in, and are there wrong ways to pray that will get you ignored? Folks, stay with us this morning as we tackle what promises to be a massive, important, and life-changing topic. And this, Jonathan, is an enormous, enormous subject.
It is, Rick, because it's our lifeline to the Creator of all things.
And prayer is a very widespread practice, not only amongst Bible-believing Christians, but many, many, many groups of people throughout the entire world.
That's true.
So it's an enormous thing to be talking about. I don't know how well we'll do with it with just 2 hours, but we're going to try. So who gets their prayers answered? That's our main question. That's our main focus. And I guess, Jonathan, where we want to start is, well, how should we approach prayer? I mean, how do you even get on? You said it's our lifeline.
It is.
Well, you need to know if it's your lifeline. You need to know how to grab a hold of it.
You're right.
Okay. And, you know, the worst thing you could possibly do is grab a hold of your lifeline and find out it's the wrong line.
And oftentimes in life, you learn that lesson.
Yeah. I mean, imagine grabbing the line and starting to pull and it just keeps coming because there's nothing on the other end.
That's right.
So you need to know how to approach prayer. So let's start with a scripture. Let's start with James 5:16-18. James 5:16-18.
Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the earth for 3.5 years. Then he prayed again, and the sky poured rain, and the earth produced its fruit.
So now, here in this scripture, it sounds, it sounds like almost too good to be true sort of thing.
He had the formula.
Yeah, he did. Whatever it was, he had the formula. But it says, look, the effective righteous prayer, prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. And then he gives this example of Elijah, and it's a very physical example with very physical things happening.
Absolutely.
So now, are we to draw the conclusion that, oh, okay, so if I'm righteous like Elijah, then boy, can I have some power at my fingertips? Because, I mean, it certainly seems like Elijah did, right?
He did.
Okay.
He was a prophet.
Okay, just throwing that little detail in, are you?
Yeah.
All right, so folks, we're talking about prayer. Who gets their prayers answered? If you have a thought, we'd love to hear from you. 866-985-4255. Toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9. That means we're on right now.
And if you have any questions on our subject, ask your questions at christianquestions.net or go to our Facebook or email us at rick@christianquestions.net.
All right, let's go to, before we get into some actual examples of prayer that folks, you may like or you may not like, we'll see. Let's go to a little bit of a scientific approach on prayer. This was from a CNN program, and on the science of prayer. And it's about prayer and brain activity. This is Dr. Newberg who is speaking on this soundbite from CNN.
on I think some of what you told Sanjay. Sure. You've done research specifically into what happens in a person's brain when they pray, and it's really something rather unique, isn't it? Explain it.
Well, absolutely. It's something that actually activates many different parts of the brain. It affects our emotional parts of the brain, the logical parts of the brain, the parts of the brain that help us to feel connected to our universe, to God. And therefore, it is really a buzz of activity. It really makes us feel very energized, and I think that's part of why it's such a powerful experience for people.
So it's an interesting soundbite, and we're going to come back to the scientific approach to prayer later on in the program. But it says prayer activates all of these different parts of the brain, the emotional, logical parts of the brain. There's all these things going on that literally light up in your head if you are deeply involved in prayer.
That's interesting.
Well, it is, because part of the science of prayer, whether you believe in prayer or not, part of the science of prayer seems, and I'm going to put that word in quotes, seems to indicate that we're wired to pray, because it really draws a lot out of what happens inside of our heads. So the question remains, okay, if that is the case, then how do you take best advantage of that wiring in the right way?
And it's, according to science, it's a deep and a personal experience, isn't it?
And you would agree with that.
Yeah.
And for myself as well. You know, prayer is a very, very deep and very personal experience. And depending on the person and depending on the circumstance, which we're going to get into a lot of actually right now, the question is, though, prayer generally can be that way, but are all prayers that way appropriate prayers? See,
okay,
That's the other part of this whole thing. Yes, lots and lots and lots and lots of people pray, but are all prayers appropriate prayers in terms of approaching unto God? And again, folks, if you have a thought, it's 866-985-4255. Jonathan, let's go to another soundbite. this is from a website, asktheal@thespiritualcatalyst.com.
Is this why I snickered?
This is why you snickered, yes. And this is very much a New Age approach to prayer. Okay, this is not a Christian approach. I'm just warning you all out there. This is not a Christian approach to prayer. This is a New Age approach to prayer. So let's listen, and listen carefully to what she says.
What are you praying to when you ask? You're praying to you. You're praying to the source self that still exists, which is the larger, more expansive part of you. When you have an idea of God being outside of you, prayer becomes this movement of prostration. It's asking in such a way that you're giving the power over to something else, and there's a possibility that something else might decide you're worthy enough to give it to you. That is not the way that real prayer works. When real prayer is done properly, you acknowledge the fact that you are the creator. You focus in such a pure way that you are allowing that God force energy that is you to affect the fabric of your own reality.
It's a good thing we're not on camera in here. That's all I got to say. All right, now that is...
So you are the creator, Rick.
Well, hey, look, that's what she said, all right? Look, here's the thing, and she, remember, listen, I mean, she's talking about when real prayer happens, this is the way it's supposed to be. She says this other kind of prayer, the kind of prayer that you and I believe in,
right?
She says this kind of this act, this movement of prostration, you know, when you prostrate yourself, you humble yourself. And
yeah.
I'm thinking, yeah, good, good. And she says, but the problem with that is that if you engage in this movement of prostration, you're acknowledging there's something else out there that you're praying to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah, right?
Right.
But her point is, you are, when prayer, and this is a quote from her, when prayer is done properly, you acknowledge the fact that you are the creator. So in this approach to prayer, you pray essentially to yourself, to the, how she put it, the larger, more expansive part of you as God. You are God. You are the creator. That is an approach to prayer now, isn't it?
It is.
Okay. And we're putting it out on the table because that's an approach to prayer. Now let's go back to the scriptures and lay out another approach to prayer. And Jonathan, throughout the program, we're going to use probably the most commonly quoted prayer from the Bible throughout all of history, the Lord's Prayer in Matthew chapter 6.
Excellent.
Okay.
I'm happy.
There is a sigh of relief by my co-host, yes. Matthew 6:9. We're going to break it up into pieces. Matthew 6:9. Let's start with that.
Pray then in this way. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name.
All right. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. So the first order of business that when Jesus, the apostles say to him, teach us to pray, he says, pray after this manner. And he lays out a template for how to pray. And the first order of business is to hallow or to honor or to glorify God.
Revere him.
Right. And that's exactly contrary to what the last soundbite said.
That's right.
And remember, that last soundbite was not a Christian approach. Let's look at a couple of scriptures on that revering God, and that puts things in perspective.
For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption when we cry, Abba, Father.
And so it is looking at the Father as our so much greater than we are.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and also Isaiah 64:8.
But now, O Jehovah, thou art our Father. We are the clay, and thou our potter, and we all are the work of thy hand.
And that really puts things in order in terms of revering God. You know, Isaiah 64:8 scripture, you're our Father, we're the clay, you're the potter, we're the work of your hands.
We're this little, teeny,
right.
And you are this.
And you
wonderful.
Are the one that fashioned and created.
Yes.
Us and everything.
Everything, yeah.
So when in the Lord's Prayer, pray then in this way, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. It's saying, it's putting God with our words in his right perspective.
Humility really is a part of this, isn't it?
Well, if you can't hallow or honor or glorify someone or something outside of yourself unless you're looking at it as bigger than you are.
Mm-hmm.
So absolutely, humility ends up being a major, major part of this. Now, with that backdrop of humility being a major part of this, let's go to the next soundbite. And folks, buckle your seatbelt for this. This is from Dr. Cindy Trim, and she is a Christian. And this is a prayer that she has on her website. She has I don't know if it's a DVD or something called The Atomic Power of Prayer. And you can hear the atomic power in the way she expresses herself in this soundbite. Listen to this.
I declare that the anointing of God breaks every yoke, open every portal, and assign angels to reinforce me as I advance into new levels, new dimensions, new realms, and territories. Let there be a breakthrough in the heavens. I tap into apostolic and prophetic veins. I shatter glass ceilings. I smash spiritual bars and iron membranes. I declare a breakthrough atmosphere is established. I recalibrate the spiritual climate and decree that every bit of lukewarmness must be replaced with the fire and the zeal of God. Baptize me with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Let there be fire in my mouth as I advance in this prayer.
Okay. More to come from Dr. Cindy Trim later.
Okay.
All right, but there's something interesting in the way she approaches prayer, Jonathan. And several times during that little 50-second soundbite, she declared this and she decreed that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, she's making very affirmative, clear statements. Now, is she following Scripture? That's the question. Is that a scriptural approach to prayer? To decree to God that this and this and this is going to happen?
So we're telling God, the creator of all things, what to do?
Yeah, but is it scriptural? Because that's certainly what it sounds like.
It does.
All right. Now let's look. Let's read Job 22:28.
Thou shalt also decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee, and the light shall shine upon thy ways.
Now, this is one of Job's comforters telling him to decree a thing to God. So that is the scripture, I think, where this approach to prayer actually comes from.
Oh, okay.
So there is a scripture here that that does have a sense of decreeing something to God. And when you decree, it's a very specific, very clear, very straightforward, almost a command when you're decreeing. So is, when we look at prayer, is prayer supposed to be our decreeing and declaring to God? Because there is a scripture that might indicate that.
This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject this morning, who gets their prayers answered? Coming up, the second part of the Lord's Prayer, recited, but is it meaningless to most? That's next.
You're listening to Christian Questions.
Welcome back. This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject this morning, who gets their prayers answered? To be a part of our program, call toll-free 866-985-4255. That's 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9. That means we're on right now on our website, ChristianQuestions.net.
And Jonathan, in the first segment, we listened to a couple of different approaches of prayer. One was a non-Christian approach, which basically said, hey, you know, you are God. And the other was an approach that was very, very, very straightforward, very forthright, very almost commanding.
Forceful.
Yeah, that's a good word. Very, very forceful. Well, now let's look at one of the statements of Jesus and see if it might fit that sort of forceful approach.
And he said unto them, because of the littleness of your faith, for truly I say to you, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible to you.
Doesn't that almost sound like that forceful approach? You know, Jesus saying, hey, look, you can literally move a mountain. You see that mountain? If you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you can say to that mountain, move from here to there, and it's going to happen. Isn't that a forceful approach?
Well, if you take it literally, but I don't think that's really what Jesus was saying. Move that mountain for me.
Oh, okay. All right. We'll hold that thought. I want to go to a soundbite. And again, this is another approach to prayer. Now, this is not a prayerful approach to prayer. This is an approach to prayer from an atheist. So you can imagine what this is going to be. All right. And again, we're trying to mix it up here this morning, and I hope you don't end up mixed up, but we're trying to mix it up here. This is from the Atheist Experience number 592, and they're talking about prayer. It's a little bit long, and they go over the scripture we just quoted.
Let's talk about the systematic failure of prayer. This is another thing. Well, if there's a God sitting around, maybe he just needs, you know, maybe he's a little lazy. Maybe he needs a reminder that these things over here need fixing. They're not quite working very well. And people supposedly can pray to God and tell him about his neglected duties. And in fact, the Bible even confirms that. Matthew 17:20, Jesus says, for truly I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, a little bit of faith, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and I will move, and nothing will be impossible for you, nothing. Isn't that powerful? Boy, just a little bit of faith, a little bit of prayer, and anything you want to happen.
I haven't heard of any mountains moving. I guess the conclusion is that either there is no one in the world who had faith the size of a grain of a mustard seed.
It's the smallest seed, according to Jesus.
Or they just didn't see any mountains that needed moving.
Right.
All right, so again, you can hear the sarcasm in the atheistic approach to prayer. So we've got several different things going on here, and we want to go back to the scriptures and put it all in perspective in terms of understanding prayer. And you know, Jonathan, what you said about not being literal in that scripture.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that Jesus was talking about in that scripture, and we're going to go to the phones right after this, is, and I won't quote the scripture, but Matthew 13:31-32, Jesus is talking about the fact that the mustard seed is a tiny, tiny seed.
Yes.
But has enormous growth potential.
Mm-hmm.
So Jesus is using the figure of a mustard seed to show that faith is not supposed to be tiny, but to have enormous growth potential.
So it will develop over time.
So the figure of faith ought to have great growth potential to figuratively move mountains. Hello, wake up, understand the meaning of the words. Let's go to the phones.
Well, we have Jim from Indiana. Good morning, Jim, and welcome to Christian Questions.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good.
I've listened to you for quite a while on my way to church, and I thought I'd give you a ring this morning.
Well, good to have you.
We're getting a little bit of the rain from the hurricane, and it's kind of blessing us up here with it's been so dry. And I know our blessings have been, gosh, not so well received in other places with the amount of rain they're getting.
I know, it's unbelievable. Anyway, what have you got to add this morning?
The prayer is not just this formal thing of hitting your knees in the morning or in the evening, but a lot of times it's just taking the time to turn off the TV, to turn down the sounds of the world, and just being with God and listening for Him. It's not this thing of I say this and I get this back. It's how can I be useful to you? How can I be living my life to show your glory? That to me is a lot what prayer is reading his word, but then listening for a response, and sometimes that just takes discipline, just to be with him, not asking, not doing, but just to be with him.
Jim, that was better than all those sound bites so far, I'll tell you that. Listen,
well, you guys are a blessing, I'm sure, to a lot of people. You keep doing what you're doing.
Well, thanks.
Proclaiming the good news of God.
Thanks so much, Jim. We appreciate your call and your input, and God bless you. Thank you.
Take care.
What a great, great comment. Because he's putting out there, again, now that's a different approach to prayer we haven't really touched on yet, but that really ends up being the core of our program here. He's putting prayer in its perspective. It is taking the time. It's not necessarily just the formal thing where you pray on your knees or you pray before your meal or something like that, but it's the taking the time, and I like the way he said it. You turn off the sounds of the world so you can focus on the sounds of the Creator. And it just puts things in a different perspective. Jim, thanks so much. We truly appreciate your comments this morning. Go ahead.
All right. Well, if you have more to say after the program, you can write us at Christian Questions, P.O. Box 1837, New London, Connecticut, 06320. And you can contact us on the web at christianquestions.net. There are many archived programs to listen to, probably 400 and so many subjects.
Yeah,
so,
or so.
Check them all out at ChristianQuestions.net. Also, CQ Rewind. CQ Rewind has two parts. The summary version includes excerpts from the program, transcript, and scriptural citations. It's a free download. The second, the one you really want, is CQ Rewind, the full edition. Now, that's available by email sign-up only, and that includes comprehensive excerpts, transcript, and fully quoted scriptures, plus bonus material, all presented in a reader-friendly format full of graphics and illustrations. It's also available free of charge. Just sign up. Check them out at ChristianQuestions.net. CQ Rewind, you heard the program, now see it as well.
Okay, again, all available at ChristianQuestions.net. Jonathan, let's get back into this. And you know, we listened to that soundbite from the atheist,
mm-hmm.
and you know, the sarcastic approach that, well, haven't seen any mountains move lately, have you? Must mean that nobody has the right kind of faith. No, what it means is you need to understand the context in which something was written to get the meaning of it. And in several weeks from now, we're going to actually do a program on Christianity and Islam. And we're going to sort of do a little bit of side-by-side comparison. And one of the things we're not going to do is we're not going to try and attempt to read from and understand the Quran. I haven't studied it, and I have no right to try to look into that book and say, well, here's what they must mean by what they say. Because it's not my book, if you will.
That's right.
So when an atheist looks at a Christian's approach, and they take a few lines of scripture and say, ha, and they make a mockery of it. That's what they're doing, is they're reading into a book that they're not really truly trying to understand. They just want to essentially make fun of. And, you know, you lose something. You lose some of your own credibility in doing that, but you lose the opportunity to gain real true meaning as well. So let's kind of keep that in mind. Let's go back to Matthew 6, the Lord's Prayer. We went through the first part, hallowed be thy name. Matthew 6:10.
Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
So Jesus in this model prayer puts before us the second order of the business. The first order was to hallow, to honor, to praise, to glorify God's name with our words and our thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
The second order of business is to pray for the plan of God to unfold.
That's right.
Because he says, look, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He's saying there is something unfolding. Pray for it.
Yes.
And if Jesus tells us to pray for something that's unfolding, you think he's going to tell us to pray for something that's not going to come true?
No.
So when you read those words, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, there's got to be reality and truth to that. Let's just look at a couple of scriptures on that before we continue.
Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth.
That was Jeremiah 23:5. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth. That's a prophecy. Those two are connected. Daniel 2:44.
And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever.
Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, Daniel 2:44, attached to what Jesus is telling us to pray for. You know, in introducing this segment, you said something about this part of the prayer sometimes might be unheeded.
That's right.
Folks, look at the prophecies and realize that they're going to come true because God said so. Good enough for me. So perspective is important when it comes to proper prayer. Just one more scripture before we go to the next soundbite.
And he called a child to himself and set him before them and said, "Truly I say to you, unless you are converted and become like children, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever then humbles himself as this child, he is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven."
So Jesus is saying you have to become like a child.
You have to be teachable.
So we're looking at prayer, folks. If you have a thought on prayer and what it means to you and maybe some experiences of prayer or observations, we'd love to hear from you. 866-985-4255. Toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9. That means we're on right now.
And the conversation continues online at ChristianQuestions.net. Contact us there with your questions or comments. Also, interact with us on Facebook or our always updated blog.
All right. Now, that last scripture, Jonathan, said become like a child. So we're going to quote a child here. We're going to go to a soundbite. This was a prayer at the Potter's House from Bishop T.D. Jakes. This is a child praying. He must be 5 or 6 years old.
Okay.
And this is, but we're going to come back to this prayer later on. But I want you to hear the theme of the prayer. This is, again, a 5 or 6 year old child. And this is a scripted prayer. There's no question about it. So just, you know, but listen to the theme of the prayer that this small child has been taught.
I decree and declare, God, you granted the children supernatural strength and ability to fight a good fight of faith. I decree and declare they are qualified to share in Jesus' inheritance. I decree and declare they are reconciled to God. I decree and declare they are firmly rooted, built up, and established in the faith. I decree and declare they are a steward of great wealth. I decree and declare they are an ambassador for Christ, the light of the world.
He's getting excited.
He is, and so is the congregation.
Yeah, and that was near the beginning of the prayer, and we're going to come back to it in a little while, and you can hear how the excitement level is going to grow. But the theme here is, I decree and declare. That's the theme that this child was taught in terms of this particular prayer. Well, decree and declare. What's the context of the decree and command that we're talking about here? We quoted one scripture from Job in the first segment.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go back to the context of that. Job chapter 22, verses 1 through 5.
Then Eliphaz the Temanite answered, "Can a mortal be of use to God? Can even the wisest be of service to him? Is it any pleasure to the Almighty if you are righteous, or is it gain to him if you make your ways blameless? Is it for your piety that he reproves you and enters into judgment with you? Is not your wickedness great? There is no end to your iniquities."
So here's Eliphaz is one of Job's, and I'm going to put this in quotes, comforters.
This is a comforter?
Yeah, well, because what this man is saying to Job, because remember, all these bad things happened to Job.
Sure.
And he was a very God-fearing, God-loving, very righteous individual.
Mm-hmm.
He really, truly was. He was honest and sincere, and he had integrity, and all of these bad things happened to him. So these comforters come, and Eliphaz is saying, "Job, you know what? You're not as righteous as you think. You must be terribly evil.
You must have done something to cause this."
Right. It's your fault. He says, "There is not your wickedness great. There is no end to your iniquities." And it was in the context of Eliphaz telling him how bad he was that he says, decide, ask for forgiveness, and then decree to God that you're back. And you just tell him, "Here I am." But you have to repent of all this terrible, terrible, terrible evil that you've done. So that's the context of the decree and declare idea.
Okay.
In Scripture.
Okay.
It's this comforter telling Job that he was far more evil than he actually really was. And telling him, you've got to repent of those things. Now, on the other side of that, we won't read the scripture, Jonathan. We don't have time. But in James 4, 1 to 3, it talks about there's conflicts among you, and they come to you. This is the New Testament, because you are coveting things that you can't obtain. You are asking for things and you're not receiving because you ask so you can spend what you get on your own personal pleasures.
There's selfishness there.
And so there's something wrong with the approach there. And they're saying there's something wrong with the approach to prayer. Now, is this decree and declare, and is the concept in James about consuming things upon your lusts, are those two things connected?
This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject this morning, who gets their prayers answered? Coming up, back to the young boy who continues this decree and declare prayer. Will God answer him? You decide. That's next.
You're listening to Christian Questions.
Welcome back. This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject this morning, who gets their prayers answered? To be a part of our program, call toll-free 866-985-4255. That's 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9. That means we're on right now on our website, ChristianQuestions.net.
And Jonathan, we're looking at prayer from a number of different standpoints, and that's what makes this such an interesting conversation. There's a lot of scriptures behind it, and folks, if we're not on in your area for the second hour, go to ChristianQuestions.net for that second hour. Click on the Listen Live button and stay with us, because we really want to unfold a lot of the scriptural reasoning that we can't get to in the first hour in that second hour, and we would love for you to be a part of it. ChristianQuestions.net, the Listen Live button. Jonathan, let's go again back to our New Age person. Teal is her name. This comes from AskTeal at thespiritualcatalyst.com, and she is continuing her discussion on what she calls real prayer. Now, remember, when she was describing prayer, the kind of prayer that you and I ascribe to, she was saying, well, that's not real prayer.
No, that's right.
Because the kind of prayer we ascribe to says that we are giving ourselves over to the will of a higher power, God.
Right.
And she says, no, you are the higher power.
You are God.
Right.
You're the creator.
You're the creator. So let's listen to her follow through on what she said previously.
The way to ensure that a prayer offers you up results is to believe that it will. Everything is coming according to your beliefs, and so your beliefs must shift if the prayer is to occur. The person, even in their aspect of praying to a God which exists outside of them, the person who trusts so fully that it is going to become the minute they ask for it, is the one that's going to line up with the results. That's just how it is. And so if you're praying and praying for something that you really believe can't happen, it can't happen. Yet again, not because the universe is not making it happen, but because you can't even put yourself in the vibrational space to receive it.
So, Jonathan, you need to put yourself in the vibrational space to receive it.
Okay.
Now, look, there is something scientific about vibrational spaces and all that. We're not going to get into that here. But the point is, she is talking about praying to you yourself and it being put in the vibrational space of the universe so the universe can answer your prayer, not God. And obviously, we have a real issue with that here. And she mentioned something, though. Belief is a very important thing. And that is true.
Oh, yeah.
So she had a very important and good point on that. Proverbs 15, 28 and 29.
The Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the righteous.
So, interesting, it's not saying that God is hearing everybody's prayer in that scripture, is it?
No.
It's saying he's far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the righteous. Now, who are the righteous? In the context of God, it would be those who are seeking after God.
Him, yes.
Okay, because that's a spiritual definition of what righteousness is. So that's kind of an interesting sideline as we develop this discussion on prayer.
All right, well, let's go back to the phones. We have Keith from Tennessee. Good morning, Keith, and welcome to Christian Questions.
Oh, good morning. This has been troubling me all week, or it's been on my mind. But before I get into it, let me say, thanks to Jesus, death is dying, and death dies, time will be no more. And there are ELS Bible codes about the time and the end just before the second coming, which may or may not have something to do with Revelation 9, 18, 10, 10, and 18, 4. But anyway, at my service last Sunday, well, let me say this. Give me liberty or give me death. As you probably know, there were, at the time of Hurricane Katrina and this latest Hurricane Isaac, there was an in-your-face gay rights celebration going on at both, you know, at the time of both of them, which may or may not have something to do with this, but my prayer was requested last week about this Hurricane Isaac, and the pastor refused to pray for it, stating that somebody he respected. Now, I don't know whether this guy's a theologian, a prophet, or what. I'd like to know who said it, but claimed that God told him not to pray about the hurricane because it was from God. And I'd like to know, I mean, should I have prayed for this? I mean, you know, my pastor said he wasn't going to. And I mean, are there things, I know in the Bible, isn't there something in the Old Testament about even a Daniel or a Moses could pray for something and God won't move?
Okay, all right. So really your question is, you know, are there things that we shouldn't be praying for because, you know, our praying about them might be contrary to the will of God. I think that's
right.
Really,
do you think I should have prayed for this about that hurricane? Or do you think the congregation... Yeah, right. That's right.
Okay.
You know, are there times...
Keith, hang on, because we got to keep it moving here. So we're gonna take that question. We're going to work with that question. That's actually an excellent, excellent question, especially in light of the hurricane that just happened. So really appreciate your calling in. We thank you for your input and a very important question. We will get right to it.
Take care.
God bless.
Thank you very much. Excellent question. Okay, should we be praying that the hurricane would turn this way or that way or not come or something? Or was that hurricane sent from God to send some kind of a message? Those are important things. And one of the things, Jonathan, I think we need to realize is that in the context of this present evil world, evil exists and the world goes on.
That's right.
And I don't know that it is for us to try to alter the events of the world around us. When we pray for something, and let me get very pointed with you personally, Jonathan.
Okay.
Okay. You're in a situation right now. Your mother-in-law is dying.
That's right.
Okay.
She lives with us. She has cancer.
And it's very, very difficult. I mean, you've been keeping us up to date on that. And so, and you obviously, you must pray about the situation.
Oh, absolutely.
So what, and again, I'm putting you on the spot. What are you praying for in that situation?
Well, basically to give her the spiritual strength to be faithful to the Lord. And also, my wife being her caregiver, that she has the strength to deal with every experience that comes.
So you're not praying for healing?
No.
You're not praying that the physical circumstances are necessarily altered?
No.
But you're praying for strength to carry through those things.
Exactly.
And I think, see, folks, I think that is one of the core values of what we need to realize our prayers are supposed to be for. The idea that was brought up that, well, you know, there's this openly gay thing going on in Louisiana somewhere, and then the hurricane comes, attaching those two, folks, I would stay far away from that kind of thinking. Come on. Look, you know, just understand, God is not a vengeful God in that way. God will take vengeance on evil at the right time. But certainly not in that way. Not by using a tool like a hurricane to say, see, I told you so. Because Satan, who's the ruler of this world?
Satan. It's the prince of this world.
Because God allowed him to be. Keith, thanks so much for that call and that question. We really appreciate it. Let's get back to decree and declare. Eliphaz, remember, he lectured Job on how evil he thinks Job must be. And then he says to repent. Well, let's go now to Job 22, verses 21 to 28.
Acquaint now thyself with him, and be at peace. Thereby good shall come unto thee.
See, Eliphaz is telling Job, here's how you fix your situation.
Receive, I pray thee, the law from his mouth, and lay up his words in thine heart. If thou return to the Almighty, thou shalt be built up. Thou shalt put away iniquity far from thy tabernacle.
So he's saying, you've gone far from God, Job. You've gone far from Job. Put away all this evil that you must have done, and you're not telling us. I know you're not telling us, but you are inherently deviously evil, put it away from you.
Thou shalt make thy prayer unto him, and he shall hear thee, and thou shalt pray thy vows. Thou shalt also decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee, and the light shall shine upon thy ways.
So he's connecting, putting away all this evil, which incidentally Job didn't do.
Right, he did not.
And then saying, then you decree, then you pray and you decree to God that he will establish your way. So that's, and look, I looked it up.
This is his counselor?
Yes, this is his counselor. I looked it up, and this is where, this text in Job 22:28 is where the concept of decreeing and declaring comes from. So it's based on the advice of Eliphaz.
But later, doesn't God talk to this counselor about what he told Job?
Don't get ahead of me yet. Folks, if you have a thought, it's 866-985-4255. Toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9. That means we're on right now.
And our website, ChristianQuestions.net.
Let's go to another soundbite here, Jonathan. I want to get this in before the end of this hour. This is the prayer at the Potter's House, that young 5 or 6 year old boy, Bishop T.D. Jakes is the bishop there. And this is further on his prayer, decreeing and declaring. Now, listen to the things now. I mean, it was a little bit more general at the beginning. Pay close attention to what's being decreed and declared in this prayer taught to a 5 or 6 year old.
I decree and declare there is a hedge of protection around them. I decree and declare they would never be broke a day in their life. I decree and declare God provide for them with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. I decree and declare God will cross them with multiple streams of income at a young age. I decree and declare God will cross them with multiple multi-million dollar ideas, inventions, and strategies.
All right, did you get that? And he was a little hard to understand, but part of it. I decree and declare that God will bless them with multiple streams of income at a young age. I decree and declare that God will bless them with multi-million dollar ideas, inventions, and strategies. I decree and declare they will never be broke a day in their lives.
Will God answer his prayer?
Who do we think we are? Sorry, I mean, I wasn't supposed to answer that yet, but I can't stand it. I mean, look, folks, prayer is not to tell God. Prayer is so we open our hearts to listen to him. Listen to him. As a matter of fact, here's God's reaction to Job about after being given this advice to decree to God everything. Here's what God says to Job in chapter 38, verses 1 to 4.
Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind. Who is that darkens counselor by words without knowledge?
So he's saying God comes to Job and says, who is giving you this counsel who doesn't have knowledge? Referring to Eliphaz and the other two. Incoming.
Gird up your loins like a man. I will question you and you shall declare to me.
See, there is where God says, okay, you want to declare? I'll question you and you answer my questions. You can declare to me here.
Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me, if you have understanding.
And throughout the whole 38th chapter of Job, and the 39th, and part of the 40th, God is saying, Job, were you there when I did this? Were you there? No, you weren't. I know you weren't, because I created you. And he tests him. God is putting it in perspective, saying, here's what you declare. You tell me if you know the answers to these things. And Job couldn't say anything.
No, he couldn't.
God is essentially putting this decree and declare idea on ice, saying it doesn't belong because you weren't there.
You don't have understanding.
I'm the one who decrees. You're the one who listens. That's God's reaction. That's God's answer to that. Jonathan, let's try to... You know what? I want to hold this call over to the next hour, okay? So let's hold this call to the next hour because we really want to try to wrap this thing up here. In Job 42... He says, Job answers God, and he says, look, you know what? I know that the things that I've been listening to are not good. And he said, therefore I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes. And he's apologizing, not because he did evil things in his life, because he was a righteous man, mm-hmm. but because he was heeding the advice
from the counselors
that was wrong. In Job 42:7, it says, it came about after the Lord had spoken these words to Job that the Lord said to Eliphaz. Now, God is now talking to the comforter. And what does he say to
him? My wrath is kindled against you and against your two friends because you have not spoken of me what is right as my servant Job has.
So this idea of decreeing to God because you were trying to admit things that you actually hadn't done wrong, God is saying you were wrong and it caused God's anger. Folks, as we wrap this up, again, we want to encourage you to join us in the next hour. If we don't not on in your area, go to ChristianQuestions.net, hit the Listen Live button. And stay with us. Don't forget to leave your comments on Facebook with us. But here, you know, when you look at Luke 18:9-14, the parable Jesus speaks of of the Pharisee and the tax collector. Remember, the tax collector was humble. The Pharisee was not. And Jesus says it was the tax collector who was made righteous that day. That's the essence of prayer. Humility before God. Not this extroversion before God, but humility. Let's make sure we keep things in perspective. For Jonathan and Rick, it's Christian Questions. We'll be back again after the news and all of that. But until then, who gets their prayers answered? We'll be back soon. Think about it.
This is Christian Questions.
Guy King once said, "No one is a firmer believer in the power of prayer than the devil. Not that he practices it, but he suffers from it." Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Christian Questions, talk radio with your breakfast with Jonathan and Rick. This isn't your typical Christian commentary. We love talking with our audience, and we promise to never talk at you like so many talk shows do today. This is a conversation about biblical topics as we look at them from a different perspective. And Jonathan, what is our subject on this fine Sunday morning?
Well, Rick, our question is, who gets their prayers answered? And our theme text comes from Lamentations chapter 3, verse 37. Who is there who speaks and it comes to pass unless the Lord has commanded it?
And we had a busy discussion on prayer in the first hour.
We sure did.
Talked about a lot of different things. We apologize to those folks that we couldn't get on the air. If you want to call back for this hour, please do. And in the first hour, Jonathan, we were talking about this idea of decreeing and declaring to God. We were looking at things, hearing from an atheist standpoint on prayer, which doesn't have a whole lot of good things to say about it. And then we also looked at a New Age perspective on prayer.
And scientific.
And some science, and we're going to get back to several of those things in this hour. But the focus was, okay, how did Jesus teach us to pray? What in the Lord's Prayer in the 6th chapter of Matthew, Jesus lays out a template for us to pray. And one of the things I just want to add here, Jonathan, I think that's important, should have mentioned it in the first hour, didn't, is that the Lord's Prayer is not there necessarily to just be repeated again and again and again and again. It's good to do that, but that's not the purpose of it. The Lord's Prayer in Matthew chapter 6 was to teach us how to pray, not what words to say, but how to pray. So it's giving us an example and saying, follow this example as you personally pray. That's what I think the main import of the Lord's Prayer was.
I agree with that.
So we touched on the first two verses, Matthew 6:9 and Matthew 6:10.
Pray then in this way, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name.
So the first order of business is to glorify God with our words and our thoughts, to hallow his name. To
put honor, it, reverence.
To put it above where it rightfully belongs. And see, when you set your context that way at the beginning, everything else can now fall under the right context. That's why that's so important.
Next part is, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Jesus is telling us God has a plan. Pray for it to unfold. So, in other words, now look, does my prayer make God's plan unfold any faster than he planned it to?
No.
No, but what my prayer does, it makes me aware of the fact that he has a plan.
And it keeps you in harmony.
Exactly.
With God.
Right. So if we honor him and then we put his plan first, see, then the rest of our prayer falls into a better position in terms of being able to pray for the right kinds of things with the right kind of attitude.
Our friend Roger is here listening live with us, came in, and he brought out a good point at the break. He says, your will be done. And we heard all these decree and declare prayers, kind of demanding God to do this, do this, do this. But it's answered here in the second part of the Lord's Prayer.
Yeah,
your will, God.
It really is. It really is. And as a matter of fact, I had an experience several years ago. I went to see somebody from a business perspective. And when I went to their home, they had a lot of scriptures on their walls and things. So we started talking about other things, you know, and you know, sort of hit it off. And as I was leaving, he asked if he could say a prayer for me as I left. And I thought, well, wasn't that great? Wonderful. And so he did. And the prayer that he offered was very much along those lines. And to tell you the truth, I was uncomfortable at the end of that prayer, because he's basically telling God, I decree that the God, that you clear the roadways, so when Brother Rick gets back on the road, he will arrive safely. And I'm thinking, well, wait a minute. If that's not God's will, then why would I want that to happen? And it was troubling to me. And that was my first sort of my first foray into that world of decree and declare. But there's a lot of individuals who believe in that.
There are.
And we just encourage you to look at the scriptures to see the attitude that we're supposed to pray with. Folks, if you have a thought, it's 866-985-4255, toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9. That means we're on right now.
And the conversation continues. Online at ChristianQuestions.net. We're live Sunday mornings on demand with tons of topics to talk about featured in our audio archive, CQ Rewind, Facebook, and our blog.
ChristianQuestions.net. That's the answer. Somebody asked you a question? That's the answer. All right, Jonathan, Matthew 6:11. Let's continue with the Lord's Prayer.
Give us today our daily bread.
So the third order of business is to petition God for our basic needs. Now, you were talking to me before the program about this.
Yeah, this could be a problem. What if we think our needs are this big and God says, no, it's just this big?
Well, and
selfishness can enter in here, and I think we have to be careful about that.
Well, and I think that if by hallowing God's name and putting God's plan before us, it helps us to sort of reduce ourselves. And when you think of it, give us today our daily bread. Well, you know, I don't know, 1,800 calories will do you.
Not a gourmet meal.
Yeah, it doesn't say give us this day our five-course gourmet meal, does it?
No.
It doesn't say give us this day a bigger car or a better home or multiple streams of income, does it?
It doesn't.
No, it says give us this day, help us, sustain us. That's what it's asking for. Sustain us. Matthew 4:4 is a good scripture to put that in a spiritual light.
But he answered, it is written, one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God.
So Jesus is even saying in other teachings that, look, your sustenance, you shouldn't even be focused on the physical. You should be focused on the spiritual sustenance. And it's the word of God that really, truly feeds you.
And one of our favorite scriptures, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you.
Right.
You'll be taken care of if your focus is right.
Right, right. So, that being said, and one more scripture before we go to the soundbite. 1 Timothy 6:8.
And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content.
Okay. So, it doesn't say having a 3,500 square foot home and two Mercedes in the garage therewith to be content.
No.
Doesn't say that.
Food and raiment.
It's just simple, basic, humble means. Jonathan, let's go to a soundbite here. Let's go one more time to our friend, the New Age person. Her name is Teal. Ask Teal at thespiritualcatalyst.com. And, of course, her perspective is prayers are answered by the universe.
Mm-hmm.
You put yourself in a vibrational state of harmony with the universe, and the universe is always going to answer what you're asking it for.
Because you're the creator.
Yeah, that's what she did say, isn't it?
Yeah.
Let's listen.
There is no vibrational antinote in this universe. There is no such thing as not or don't. Anything you are focused on will come into your experience. So in that kind of a circumstance, what you should be focused on and in pure trust of is the improved state, the final end state of what you're asking for, as if it already is. So if you're praying for a relationship, put yourself in the space while you're praying of receiving that, not of the desperacy to get out of where you stand.
So what she's saying is there is no such thing as not in the universe. Sounds like Yoda.
Not there is no such thing.
Yeah, good voice.
But just, you know, giving you this sense of things are there for the taking. It's like this fruit tree. The universe is this fruit tree. Just go pick it. Believe you can and you will. And again, I think that there's a basic fallacy in that because it puts us in the center as the one calling the shots, not God. Let's go to the phones, Jonathan.
All right. Well, we have Randall from Connecticut. Good morning, Randall, and welcome to Christian Questions.
Good morning. Happy Sunday, guys.
To you, too.
We have Romans 12:12. Rejoice in hope, endure in affliction, persevere in prayer. If you think that God didn't answer your prayers, how do you know that if you didn't pray, things would be worse? God wants us to ask, and if we listen carefully, he tells us how. Romans 8:26, for we do not know how to pray as we ought, but the Spirit itself intercedes with inexpressible groanings. Prayer opens us up to the graces God is giving to us. There are trials in this life, But Jesus, in a very real way, is here with us in strength. We worry about what we think we didn't get. We should rather worry about which we don't ask. Romans 12:12, again, rejoice in hope, endure in affliction, persevere in prayer.
Well said. Thank you, Randall, very much.
God bless you guys.
Take care.
Great, great scripture. Because, you know, there's hope. There's always hope, if not for this life, certainly for eternity.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So, but we need to be patient in our tribulation. It doesn't say, and pray so the tribulation can be removed.
No, it doesn't.
So it puts things in a wonderful, wonderful perspective. Want to go back to one scripture before we go back to the phone. Psalm 105, verses 1 to 5. And this is the idea that prayer gives us the opportunity to praise. Again, praise what? Praise the being, the Creator, who is so much higher and loftier than we are.
Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him. Sing psalms unto him. Talk ye of all his wondrous works. Glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face evermore. Remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth.
And, you know, you know what that is? That's a great to-do list.
Oh, it is.
I mean, put Psalm 105, 1 to 5, up on your refrigerator. Here's my to-do list today. And check off the things as you do them. And see if your life, see if your attitude, see if the way you look at things doesn't change. And that's kind of what Randall was saying.
Mm-hmm.
You know, put things in the right perspective. Honor and glorify God in your thoughts and words and deeds. And watch how your approach to the same exact difficulty rises to a new level. See, that is the power of prayer.
Back to the phones. We have Julius from Connecticut. Good morning, Julius, and welcome to Christian Questions.
Gentlemen, good morning.
Good morning.
I think this morning you need more than 2 hours.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, whose prayers are answered? Well, it's a complex question. Here is one perspective, and then a question is it a request or is it a command?
Good.
Yeah, you know, John 9:31, paraphrasing, God does not answer the prayers of sinners. That's John 9:31. On the other hand, you had James 5:16, where the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous person availeth much. So the balance comes to a study and meditation of God's word, and like you said, the beautiful model there in Matthew 6. It's got to be meditated upon, and I think Jim called from Indiana earlier, remember?
Yeah.
And I like his approach on it. Make it a lifestyle. It's more than an event. Prayer is a lifestyle. God bless.
Thanks, Julius. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Good thoughts there as well. Are we requesting of God, or are we commanding him? And you know, look, we need to make sure that our prayers are done in the right format in terms of where we're going with them.
Mm-hmm.
And here's a great, I want to go back to the science of prayer again. This is from that same program from CNN. This was this, one of the researchers did a study of 500 prayers written inside of a John Hopkins Hospital prayer book. And it's fascinating what she found there. Listen, this is great stuff. Listen to this.
In a study that I did looking at prayers in hospital prayer books, many people were simply thanking God or accepting gratitude. So it's much more complicated.
Well, let me ask you to follow up on that, because I thought this was really interesting. You studied, I think, 500 prayers find out what specifically people were praying about. And what did you find?
That's right. I was looking at prayers that people had written in prayer books that are inside of the Johns Hopkins Hospital. And what I found after looking at about 500 prayers was that about a third of people were praying prayers of thanks, prayers of gratitude. About a third of people were petitioning God in some way, and about a third were doing both thanking and petitioning. So the first important point to realize is that there's a lot of thanks and gratitude. The second important point is when we looked at the petitions, we found that they weren't always asking for specific things. People were not saying, God, please fix my knee. People were asking for support. They were asking for blessings. They were asking for guidance in a much more general, sort of psychologically supportive way in the request they were making.
That is very revealing.
It really is.
And that gives us a sense of how prayer really ought to work. It is not for us to determine the way God moves his hand, But it is for us to determine how we react to the way God moves his hand. And when we ask for support and guidance and help, like in your personal situation we talked about earlier,
yes,
that makes things much easier to deal with. We don't have time to go through the scriptures, but prayer brings us guidance. She mentioned that, Luke 6, 12 to 13. Prayer brings us deliverance in Hebrews 4, 14 to 16. And prayer gives us the ability to participate in the lives of others, Luke 6, 28. And Jonathan, these things all will be on Seeker Rewind, the full edition. So you want to subscribe to that if you don't already, and you can get that. It's a PDF file, and it will give you the text and the comments and the scriptures from Christian Questions. It's a free service.
This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject this morning, who gets their prayers answered? Coming up, a scripture that decrees and declares, but this one's from God, and it's powerful. That's next.
You're listening to Christian Questions.
Welcome back. This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject this morning, who gets their prayers answered? If you have a thought, give us a call at 866-985-4255. That's 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9. That means we're on right now. And our website, christianquestions.net.
And don't forget to look at CQ Rewind. You want to sign up for the full edition. You know what, Jonathan? That's a win-win situation.
It is.
Because there's no cost. There's no obligation. If you don't like it, you literally the press of a button unsubscribes you and nobody's going to bother you.
And you can listen to the program while you read through the information at the same time.
And there's nothing better than having it written in front of you. And we, you know, there's graphics and illustrations,
oh, yeah,
all that.
Bonus material.
And being able to listen as well. So, actually, we got a great email from one of our listeners, I think in Knoxville, Tennessee area, talking about, you know, just a lot of the things she's learned from the program recently. It was really very cool. And she was asking about a written format thing, so I wrote her back and said, hey, look, do this. This is the answer. Anyway, let's get back to this. Let's look at four ingredients of acceptable prayer. What goes into acceptable prayer? Let's go back to another soundbite. And Jonathan, I think this will be the last one of its kind. Well, we are going to go back to the atheist later if we have time. Aren't we excited? Dr. Cindy Trim, again, in her atomic prayer approach here. This is her, and she really is really worked up here. And, you know, you can hear the passion in her voice. But what we want to do is examine what she's praying for and how she's praying for it.
I war in the name of Jesus and by his shed blood, which is the shed blood of the Lamb that was slain before the foundations of the world. By him, hallelujah, evil must be destroyed. For this reason was the Son of God made manifest, that he would destroy the works of the darkness. I decree and declare the works of darkness is destroyed. I decree every curse over my life is reversed. I break through prevailing and sustaining powers of darkness over this region in the name of Jesus.
So there she is, you know, and she's praying for good things.
She is.
But I have a challenge with the way she's praying them. Because rather than asking,
she's kind of commanding, isn't she?
Decreeing and declaring. And you know, the word that just keeps coming up in her prayer is I. And I think there's something that we have to look at with that. As a matter of fact, let's look at Psalm chapter 2, verses 1 through 7.
Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in heaven shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision.
All right, now, see, Jonathan, remember she was saying, you know, I decree and declare that the evil of this earth be vanquished?
Mm-hmm.
Folks, we don't have to decree and declare that. This psalm decreed it and declared it for us. So it's a prophecy. So rather than saying, I decree and declare this, why not say, I claim the promise of the prophecy that God has spoken to us in Psalm chapter 2. To me,
I like that.
You're praying for the same thing, but I'm not taking credit. I'm giving credit to the Almighty for his foresight and his plan. Continue the scripture.
Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath, and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare and decree, the Lord hath said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee.
So God's declaration and his decree is that Jesus is his son.
Yes.
That's the declaration and that's the decree.
That's powerful.
And that's from God himself. And so, Jonathan, it's the difference between commanding or complying. That's really what it boils down to here. And again, before we go to the phones, Lamentations 3:37, that's our theme scripture.
Who is there who speaks and it comes to pass unless the Lord has commanded it?
I think that puts it in very clear perspective. Let's go back to the phones.
All right, we have Bill from Connecticut. Good morning, Bill, and welcome to Christian Questions.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
I want to step back a little bit when you were talking about the Lord's Prayer.
Yes.
You had mentioned, thy will be done, as if we couldn't control what was happening.
Mm-hmm.
When you said that, the first thing I thought of was that Lot and Moses both, and probably a lot more, that actually talked God into changing things.
Okay.
Well, that's my point. It's, you would cursorily hit on almost a Catholicism type belief that you can't change anything.
Okay, all right.
It's,
you
only
know,
if it's his will.
Okay, I'm glad you brought that up, because and here's the thing. One of the things that we're approaching this, why we're approaching it this way, is to be clear that we are not the ones that are in control, and I know that you agree with that.
Absolutely.
And we can ask God for this, that, or the other thing. There's nothing wrong with asking, but it's how you ask, and it's if we put the disclaimer on. Now, Moses, are you talking about Moses? You're talking about Abraham, I think, right? With
Abraham.
But
Lot did it too by asking, but if I can find fewer and fewer people that were righteous.
Yeah, that was actually Abraham praying about Lot and his situation.
Thank you.
Okay, no problem. But I understand what you're saying. So what we're not suggesting that you don't ask the Lord for certain things or specific things, but we are suggesting that in asking those things, we make sure that we maintain like going back to that one of those early sound bites in the first hour, that humble, prostrated attitude of it's God's will and God's way. I'm asking him to do this. Maybe he's looking to do that. But if it's his will, can he do this? I don't have a problem with that whatsoever.
No.
Well, I'm glad you brought it up.
Thank you, sir.
Take care, Bill.
Have a great day.
Bye.
And it is important that he brought that up. You know, another interesting thing, just, you know, we touched on Elijah way back in the beginning of the first hour.
Mm-hmm.
Remember how he prayed for rain?
Yes.
And or prayed for it not to rain, and then he prayed for rain again.
Yep, yep.
You know, that was actually in line with prophecy. He didn't make that up. He didn't decide that, oh, here's what I'm going to do to you. He was working in line with not only written prophecy, but with the expressed will of God. So we have to be careful. We can't just pull that out of its context and say, well, Elijah prayed that it wouldn't rain, so I can pray that it will rain. So there. No. We have to make sure it's in the right place at the right time. And the big word for me, Jonathan, is nevertheless. And we're going to get into that in the next segment. But and I'm glad Bill brought up the point. We're not saying that you just let things happen. We do have to be engaged in our lives. And we do have to ask. And it says, come boldly to the throne of grace for a reason. We should be bold in our humility.
That's a challenge.
Well, it is. But that's the way to do it. Folks, if you have a thought, it's 866-985-4255, toll free 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9. That means we're on right now.
And we want to hear what you have to say about today's topic. Post your comments on our Facebook page at ChristianQuestions.net.
Yeah, and you know, Trish just brought me a note about the thing with Abraham. And you know, he wasn't telling God, saying, God, look, here's what you're going to do. I'm decreeing that, you know, if there are 10 righteous people, you will save Sodom and Gomorrah. He said, perchance, if there are 50. And God said, okay. Well, perchance, if there are 40. And God said, okay. Well, God, don't be mad at me, but what if there's only 20? So there was a great humility.
There really was.
In his desire to save the city. And that's the attitude of working within the context of what God will or will not do. Again, Bill, thanks so much for the call. We appreciate it. Jonathan, let's get back to the Lord's Prayer. Matthew 6:12 is the next part of that prayer.
And forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors.
And that, a simple, simple, simple statement, but a very powerful statement. The fourth order of business from the Lord's Prayer is being forgiven and forgiving. But you notice it says, forgive us our debts or our trespasses in the King James Version, as we forgive those who trespassed against us.
Mm-hmm.
So the implication is, if I am not of a forgiving heart,
you won't receive forgiveness.
Then I should not be receiving of forgiveness.
Right.
So there's something very powerful about the way Jesus teaches us to deal with such things. Very powerful. Isaiah 1:18.
Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they will be as wool.
So there is a great cleansing that comes from God. We can avail ourselves of cleansing. Now, Julius said something earlier in the program. He says, you know, God doesn't listen to the wicked.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, he doesn't. There are several scriptures that talk about that. We don't have time to get into them. But if you subscribe to CQ Rewind, the full edition, in the bonus material, there's a whole list to help you understand scripturally what God looks for and what God does not listen to. However, even if we have been sinful and our heart is turning toward God, God will hear you if you are coming to him with that humility. And I think that's the key. Ephesians 1:7 is another good scripture along those lines.
In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace.
Okay, we have redemption not because we're so good, but because of Jesus.
That's right, through Jesus' sacrifice.
So that being the case, forgive us our debts as we are forgiving our debtors, it means that we are going to be accountable to be able to receive from God according to what we are willing to give to others. That's a big responsibility.
It is.
Now, humility. We've talked about it through the whole program. Let's narrow down, because here is one of the key, absolute, most important ingredients, I think, in terms of prayer, is humility. See, without humility, we're just talking about ourselves rather than talking to God about the future of our own lives.
Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary the devil prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. But resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world.
This scripture, Jonathan, could be an entire program, because it really lays out several, several important things. First of all, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Okay? Who humbles you? You're supposed to humble you.
That's right.
And so that's an added, it's not like getting squashed like a bug by somebody else.
No.
It's squashing yourself down.
Mm-hmm.
And that's real true humility. It's not because you're forced to. It's because you decide to be humble.
I like that.
And it's important that we be humble, because the adversary will chew us up and spit out the bones if we don't humble ourselves. So this is an important scripture, an important concept, that humility rules in terms of our prayers. Now, that's not the only thing that rules. And again, folks, if you have a thought, it's 866-985-4255, toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9. That means we're on right now.
And our website, christianquestions.net.
Next ingredient, Jonathan, for prayer built on humility is living faithfully and righteously. And that enables our prayers to be heard. So it's not enough to just be humble, but then we have to live what we've humbled ourselves to. And I don't know, we won't have time to read the whole thing here, but Psalm 32, verses 1 to 8, this is the psalm, one of the psalms where David, after some of his great sins, repented. And so here, this is literally out of the horse's, not literally, out of the horse's mouth. This is somebody who went down the wrong road and had to back up and utterly prostrate themselves before God in humility and asking for forgiveness. Listen to the attitude here.
Happy are those whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Happy are those to whom the Lord imputes no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. While I kept silence, my body wasted away through my groanings all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer. Selah.
So he's saying in that section of the verse that while I was not in communion with my Father, while I was hiding from my sins, I was self-destructing. I was dying because I was not honest and I was not humble. But the verse continues.
Then I acknowledged my sin to you. I did not hide my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. And you forgave the guilt of my sin, Selah. Therefore, let all who are faithful offer prayer to you at a time of distress. The rush of mighty waters shall not reach them.
So here he says, then I acknowledge my sin. Now look, God already knew, right? let's be honest here. God knew right from the beginning what was going to happen before it did. He watched it happen, and he waited for David to catch up with his own reality. And once David caught up with his own reality, he said, then you forgave my guilt, but not until I was willing to lay it before you so it could be forgiven. So there's more to the verse. We don't have time for that. The last point on prayer, and then there's several more, but in terms of ingredients, is based on humility, we submit to God, and then we have to resist evil, and that's from James 4, 7 through 10. The point is, folks, that prayer is made up of a lot of things, and they're all God-focused and God-honoring.
This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject this morning, who gets their prayers answered? Coming up, prayer from a scientific perspective. What goes on in the brain, and how does it affect you? That's next.
You're listening to Christian Questions.
Welcome back. This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject this morning, who gets their prayers answered? To be a part of our program, call toll-free 866-985-4255. That's 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9. That means we're on right now, and our website, christianquestions.net.
And, you know, Jonathan, every time you ask that theme question, I keep thinking it's almost like, oh, who gets candy? And that's not it at all. I mean, getting to have your prayers answered, there is a lot of work to put yourself into a position of enough humility to be able to receive that as a privilege.
That's right.
Because, you know, prayer is not just something that, hey, look, anybody can just do it anytime. Sure, people can't. But to really be in harmony with the will of God, to really be humble and to put his plan first, there is a privilege to that kind of communication. There really
Absolutely,
is an absolute
Rick.
Privilege. And let's get back to Matthew chapter 6, verse 13, as the fifth part of the Lord's Prayer.
And do not bring us to the time of trial, but rescue us from the evil one.
So the fifth order of business then from the Jesus teaching to pray, us to pray, is seek God's overruling and protection.
Mm-hmm.
Asking for protection, asking for rescue from the evil one. Because this is, as we talked earlier, this is Satan's world, seeking whom he may devour.
That's right.
So we need to put ourselves in the position to be able to withstand such onslaughts and such attacks.
We have no strength of ourselves.
Exactly. And that's one of the great powers of prayer, is we have no strength of ourselves, but by God's grace and his power, we can be overcomers. But it's not because we're so good.
No.
It's actually because we're so bad. One scripture on this.
The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished.
So there is an equality in terms of getting back what you put out.
Mm-hmm.
All right. If we put out seeking righteousness and seeking godliness, we are blessed. We're protected. Now, it doesn't mean that all of the bad things are not going to happen to your life.
No, it doesn't.
Just that means that in them, God provides a way of escape that you might be able to bear it. That's what it means. Now, you know what? I want to take this call, but I want to take this call after the next soundbite.
Okay.
Okay, because I you know what it says on the screen or screen here is that is obviously somebody who's got a Christian perspective calling. So I want them to hear this soundbite before we take their call, because I think this will address something of what this person might want to say. So let's listen to this. This is from The Atheist Experience, number 592.
So nothing fails like prayer. You know, nobody seems to be able to talk to God, and in fact, believers themselves don't really believe that they can talk to God. I mean, if when do you find true believers in hospitals, right? If they were true believers, they'd go to their minister, or they'd go pray, and they'd have their disease cured.
All right, so there's that sort of sarcastic approach that, well, true believers don't even truly believe they're talking to God.
Oh, yeah?
Let's go to the phones.
All right, we have Alice from Indiana. Good morning, Alice, and welcome to Christian Questions.
Hi there, Jonathan and Rick.
How are you?
I'm fine. Wow, what a soundbite.
So let me ask you before your comment, do you believe that you really have the opportunity to talk to God?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Thought so.
That only through his son.
Okay.
Just real quick here, I know you're kind of pressed for time and stuff, but wow. I was bouncing off of what Randall had to say about groanings.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, to go with your soundbite there, those who come to God must believe that he is. We should have an attitude of prayer. Sometimes we are in such a state of emotion that we can't utter our prayers, but God still knows. And one of my favorite sayings is to do with prayer. The soul's prayer is the soul's sincere desire, uttered or unexpressed. And another thought I had: can I ever wonder why God expects reverence? Does He really need, us to give Him kudos, so to speak? Why hallowed be Thy name? That's not for our benefit. That's not for God's benefit. That's for our benefit.
Right.
It shows teachableness and humility. And we can't come to God without that. And just lastly, that's just like an earthly father. He knows what his child needs before he asks. But it's the very act of making the request to the Father, to God, that shows our heart appreciation of the Father and all His blessings towards us. So that's all I had to offer there. And I appreciate your program today very much. And I noticed lately it's harder to get in. That's a good thing.
Well, Alice, thanks so much. And you certainly contributed quite a bit. We appreciate your call, as always.
Lord bless.
Take care.
Okay.
Great, great comments. You know, sometimes we are in such a state that words just are not, don't form what we need. Don't form our desperate state. But God understands. And what we need to do is just bring that desperate state before Him and put it into His hands, casting all your cares upon Him because He cares for you. That's, I think, what Alice was saying. And it's just, that's what prayer is. Prayer changes lives. It absolutely positively does. Now, this guy who says, well, Christians don't even believe that they're talking to God. Come on. You have no idea what you're saying because you are not looking. Alice said, you must believe that He is.
That's right.
And I know that God hears our prayers. I know that. I am thoroughly convicted of such a thing. Now, do I think I'm all such a great person? No, no way. But I do know this. I do know that by the grace of God, through the sacrifice of Jesus and the Spirit of God, that He has given us opportunities to follow in Jesus' footsteps. And that is what I pray for, is to just be able to do that on a regular daily basis. Alice, thanks so much for the call. We appreciate it. Jonathan, let's go to John 17, 8 through 9. Here's Jesus praying for us.
For the words which you gave me, I have given to them, and they receive them and truly understand that I came forth from you, and they believe that you sent me. I asked on their behalf. I do not ask on behalf of the world, but of those whom you have given me. For they are yours.
So Jesus is not only praying for those followers who are with Him then, He's praying for His followers who would be with Him now.
That's right.
Much later. What a powerful prayer that is. Jesus laying before God the Father our lives.
That's humbling.
It is. It is an amazing privilege. And you get that privilege not because you're great, but because you want to do the will of God through Christ. Folks, if you have a thought, now would be the time. 866-985-4255, toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9. That means we're on right now.
And our website, christianquestions.net.
So let's continue by looking at some of the ways we ought to pray. I love this next scripture in James.
Me too.
Because it puts it in perspective. And again, it takes that concept of decree and declare, and it sort of says, you know, consider this instead of that.
Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go to such and such a city and spend a year there and engage in business and make profit.
Okay, so look, if you're going to say, okay, here's my plan, here's what I'm going to do, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this for this much of my time, then everything's going to be good, and what's going to happen, and results. And here he's saying, slow down, and now listen.
Yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You are just a vapor that appears for a little while, then vanishes away. Instead, ye ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and also do this or that. But as it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Therefore, to one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him it is sin.
That is powerful in its perspective on how prayer really works. It's really saying that, look, you don't know what the future holds. So you can have intentions to do this and that and the other thing, and those are good, but treat them as intention.
Lord willing.
Exactly. Intention in the context of God's will.
Because things can change in an instant.
We are not to command God. We are to comply with his will. Does that mean we don't make plans? No, we absolutely do make plans. But we do it in the context of what James says, if your will be, if it be, if the Lord wills it, we will do in this and this and this. And what a wonderful way to live your life. Jonathan, let's touch on our final soundbite. This is from CNN, that Science of Prayer program that they were doing. And this just talks about prayer in the limbic system. Now, I didn't know I had a limbic system, but apparently we all do. But it's a quick little thing, and it just tells you some of the things that happen as a result of prayer.
It also affects the emotional parts of the brain, a part of the brain called the limbic system, because these are deeply emotional experiences for people. They have immense joy, immense love, immense compassion, and it has a tremendous effect not only for them in the moment, but it exists throughout their entire lives.
So, again, what happens is prayer triggers several kinds of reactions in the brain, and they're good reactions.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that here's one of the difficulties that we have in dealing with prayer, you know, looking over the vast expanses of the interpretations of prayer. We are supposed to pray in faith.
Yes.
So when you pray in faith, that means you're not saying, dear Lord, it would be nice if this could, it probably really won't happen. I don't know. It just doesn't make any sense to me that it'll happen. I would like it to happen, but I really don't think it, and it's okay if it doesn't happen because I'm really not sure. As a matter of fact, I don't even think I should be praying for it. That's not praying in faith.
No.
Neither is, dear Lord, I decree and declare this to be happening. That is interpreted as praying in faith. But in actuality, what that is that's praying with great emotional charge, but not with great spirituality. So somewhere in between those two extremes lies the prayer of faith. Knowing and wanting, or not knowing, but wanting something perhaps in the future in your life,
mm-hmm.
and presenting it before God.
And if it's the Lord's will.
Exactly. Now, how do we know this for sure? Because Jesus himself taught us this method of prayer. This, folks, this to me is the most important scripture of the whole program, Matthew 26:37-44.
And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then he saith unto them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here, and watch with me. And he went a little further, and fell on his face, and prayed, saying...
Okay, so Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane. He is bearing the weight of the world on his shoulders. He brings his three closest friends, and then he goes forward and he prostrates himself before God. And here's how he prays.
Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples, and findeth them sleeping, and saith unto Peter, what, could you not watch with me 1 hour?
So Jesus prostrates himself before God, and he says, nevertheless, here's what I would like to see, but nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. And if we follow through the scripture, we don't have time to go through the rest of it, but he encourages those who are following along with him. Then he goes forward and prays again with the same nevertheless. And then he does it again, three different times. And each time the prayer is in the context of, nevertheless, not my, this is Jesus. If he prays and says, nevertheless, not my will, but your be done, who the heck are we to step outside of that? And the answer is, we're nothing.
That's powerful. Nevertheless.
And that, again, when you put it with the scripture in James about if the Lord wills, that's, where do you think James got that from? I know. Oh, pick me. I know. He got that from the example of Jesus. So, Jonathan, as we begin to wrap up this discussion on prayer, there's certainly a lot of things we didn't discuss, but so much that we were able to talk about. And again, folks, you have comments, leave them on Facebook. You can email us at Rick, R-I-C-K, at ChristianQuestions.net if you have questions or thoughts on this. Important subject, the subject of prayer. It's one of those things that permeates our lives. And as it permeates our lives, we just need to be sure that we understand what makes prayer really work to the point where it can literally change your life. It takes humility. It takes following after the will of God. It takes studying to show yourself approved. It takes wanting to do the will of God, not your own. For Jonathan and Rick, it's Christian Questions. We hope you've enjoyed being with us this week. We'll be back again next week with another subject. But till then, who gets their prayers answered? We'll be back next week. Think about it.